In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with, I think it's letter number 106 to the priest from Luisa. And she says, Most Reverend Father, to my surprise, I received your dear letter. Thank you. Again, here we're getting a glimpse of Luisa, of how amazing she is. And if you're listening to the titles of Luisa that we're going through for these next 40 days, it's astonishing how these divine attributes that Jesus is breathing into Luisa. Now, this is the important thing. As we read these attributes of God, this reflections of God, this is what God wants for us as well. So everything that Luisa possesses, we're to have 30, 60, or 100-fold, basically how much do we want this? And so when we hear the titles of Luisa, Jesus is saying, this is what I'm calling you to be also, one with Luisa. So here's you see this gentleness. To my surprise, I received your dear letter. Thank you. I too often remember you in my poor prayers. Our most interesting task is to live of the divine will. This again is, that's our task, to live of the divine will. And when we live of the divine will, it's a new beginning, not only for us, but for all of humanity. It really is. So it's the most interesting task that God is giving to us at this time is to live of the will of God. And then she says, if we do this, we do everything. Even if we did nothing, by living in the divine will, the all of God pours into the nothing of who we are and works its great wonders, such to astonish both heaven and earth. So what does that mean? It says we don't have to accomplish great things in the divine will. The divine will is interior. It's not exterior. Yes, we do things, and we always do things in the divine will. But the saints were to build monasteries and convents and orphanages and hospitals and, you know, cathedrals. I mean, they built these, you know, beautiful structures where people were learning how to do the will of God. But to live in the will of God, it says, even if we did nothing, by living in the divine will, this divine will pours into our nothingness and works great wonders in our nothingness, such as to astonish both heaven and earth. So this, again, this is very important. We've learned for 2,000 years to do, to work, to be good, faithful. And Jesus says to Luisa, now he says, I want to do this for you. I want you to enter into the image of likeness that we breathe into Adam. You worked for 2,000 years, basically, in the Holy Church, learning to obey and to be faithful to Christ and his church. And he says, now that you have learned how to obey and how to be faithful to Christ and his church, with our dogma and doctrine, through, you know, through the understanding of sacred scripture, of our tradition, everything. He says, now is the time that I want to bring sanctification to humanity. This is indeed the glorious time ever to be a living. So as he says, now you have to understand, even if we did nothing, like I know, I remember this one priest I met. He was in bed for 13 years, paralyzed from the neck down. And his hands, just the weight of his hands, he had pillows under his arms, so the weight of his hands curved his arms like a bow. And at the end of our meeting with him, we asked for his blessing, and it was the most beautiful blessing. He says, may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son. It was powerful. He didn't move, but he was doing nothing yet. You could see the power of God in his nothingness. And again, this is more than that. The divine will pours itself into our nothingness. Again, that's what we learn. I am nothing. God is everything. That's what's going to happen at the illumination of conscience. The illumination of conscience, when God reveals himself, basically recognizing us as he sees us, we're going to fall on our faces because we're going to be in the presence of the holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, holy God of Sukkoth. It's a whole new beginning. It's a whole new beginning for mankind, and a new beginning. This breathing of God into us, and we're going to know we're dust, and he the Lord is everything. He is everything, and to even to be standing at that time of illumination of conscience will be impossible. And that's what Jesus is going to teach us. He said to Louisa, the greatest thing I could teach humanity is who they are and who I am. We are nothing. We're dust. He, the Lord God, is everything. So our life is to be, to adore him and to love him and to praise him and to thank him and to bless him. It's always to delight in him. That's enjoying the beatific vision, as Our Lady says, we're going to participate in this looking at God and being in awe of God, how beautiful, how holy, how perfect. So this nothingness, this is why, if you haven't read the nothingness document, it's very, very important for living in the divine will, because we are nothing and God is everything. So he says, and if we do much without the divine will, it is just little drops. So Jesus says that all the great things that have been accomplished on earth without the divine will is drops of water. He says, when we do something in the divine will, he says it's of greatest importance. Why? It's the life of Jesus and Mary reigning in us, Jesus breathing in our breathing, beating in our heart beating, gazing in our gazing. He says, Jesus said, I've made your senses for God. So therefore, Jesus says, I place everything in the divine volition that it may do whatever it wants. Here is the great gift that God is giving. Louisa shows this. We can do much, but without the divine will, it's drops. And even if I place everything in the divine will with our prevenient act in the morning, it may do whatever it wants in me. So it's not fighting for what you want. It's surrender to God. What do you want, Lord? Like, people have these tasks. They have these things that they want to do. And it's always, you know, is this the will of God or not? Well, you start out in the morning with your prevenient act. Everything that I think, say, and do, I want to do in the divine will, to give you, God, all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Jesus in me, Mary in me, giving you this divine, I love you. And then while you're doing your acts in the rounds of the divine will, you're remembering it and you're saying, oh, I want to do this in the divine will. And you want to breathe this in the divine will. In the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, you bring all of humanity before the throne of God. You bring all of humanity when you kneel down, kneeling with you, asking God for forgiveness of your sins and for the sins of all the world, asking the Lord to have mercy on you and all the world, all of humanity, all of our brothers and sisters. Jesus is expecting this of us, because this is the best. This is the best, one with Jesus, one with Mary in the divine will through little Louisa. But she says, be certain, here she's talking to this priest, that its kingdom will come upon earth, and it wanted to conquer man through love, but mankind, maybe even the very members of the Holy Church, has rejected it. So God wants to breathe in this divine I love you. So what does he say to Saint Faustina? He says, the final devotion I give to my church before I return is divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I have confidence in you. Jesus, you're my Lord, my Savior, my Master. And we want to repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything, not only for ourselves or our family, our friends, but for all of humanity, from Adam to the last person. We want to bring everybody before the throne of God, saying to the Lord, have mercy on us, Lord. Forgive us our sins. lead us closer to you. Bring us to be obedient to you and your mother. Let us reign. Let the divine will reign in us on earth as it is in heaven. And Louisa says, this is why the Lord God Almighty forced to use the rigor of divine justice so that mankind, touched in his own flesh, might recognize that the supreme will, which wants to reign and to live, it wants to reign and live in our souls. This new and divine way of holiness is ours. And he says, it's like my spiritual director said, and my first pastor, he was a Monsignor. He says, we can do it the easy way or the hard way. He goes, and he says, it's either my way or your way. And then he was always right. I mean, it was always funny. I mean, all these ideas and things that you would want to do, he would say, this is what the church says. This is what we do. This is what we be faith. It was really an amazing time. And you could do it, you know, the fathers say that to their children. We can do it the easy way or the hard way. You could either say yes and do it easily or no and learn the hard way. So again, this is why the Lord uses force of the to use the rigor of divine justice so that mankind touched in his own flesh by these chastisements might recognize that the supreme will wants to reign and live in our souls. So what we're going through now, and I keep on saying, you know, it's going to be tough. It's going to be difficult. There's going to be casualties. But what the Lord says is the kingdom is coming. And he does say that, the four things, there's going to be a great chastisement where a large majority of humanity will be wiped off the face of the earth. Number two, my mother is marking all her little children of the divine will and no harm can come to them. Number three, the little children marked by my mother, the little children of the divine will marked by my mother, the chastisement will have little or no effect. And number four, and again, this is important, the survivors will be living in the divine will. So what we're going to do this Lent, one of the things that we want to do is to make the consecration that the angels seal the communities. And as Jesus said to Louisa, it's going to the little children of the divine will be invisible to the enemy as the enemy comes down and crashes on all of humanity. God is going to take care of us. And that's why if we know what the Lord is asking, he's asking, like he said, he wants the divine will to reign in us, that he wants the divine will to live in our souls. He wants to breathe this rule of God, this breath of God into us so that we again return to the image and likeness of God. And then she says, dear Father, talking to this priest, let us pray. Let us do this divine will that is so holy. Let us live in the divine will. Again, the only thing that I really see that can save humanity at this point is the divine will, this great and final gift that God has saved for the last, saved for the end. He always saves the best for at the end. And here we're going to get through this. We're going to get through what's coming. And we want to not only do the will of God like the saints, but we want to live in the will of God that Jesus taught Louisa. This, and little by little, we're learning this. Little by little, we're studying this. And again, we're going to constantly fail because we're still under the thumb of the evil one. But the whole reason for the divine will is to break free of the evil one, to pass the test, if you want to say, the test of no worry, no fear, no anxiety, no complaints, no negativity, to the point of one day, no more sin. When we pass that test, the kingdom will be able to come on earth as it is in heaven. God's going to do this. And he's using us at this time to repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything past, present, and future. So Jesus says, may the divine will be our breath. May the divine will be our heartbeat. That's how we want God to reign in us. We want to be free of the things of earth to really begin to embrace the things of heaven. We want to begin to live the way of heaven. That's why Jesus said, I rose from the dead. He says to Luisa, I rose from the dead after my crucifixion death. I rose from the dead. Why? So that humanity would rise from the death of their human will. Okay, so this time that we're in is a time of struggle, but it's a time of great confidence in God, complete trust in God. Jesus, I trust in you. The final devotion before Jesus returns. So he's watching us. He's looking at us and he says he's confident that what he wants us to do, we will accomplish because he is going to accomplish it in us. So our job is to, stay in the state of grace, go to confession when we fall into sin, receive Holy Communion, go to Holy Mass, pray the Holy Rosary, wear the scapular. And again, this is little things that we do compared to what God is going to give us. So we say, right in the beginning of with our prevenient act, breathe in our breathing. Lord Jesus, breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating. I don't want to breathe anymore. I want the divine will to reign in me. Jesus, you breathe in my breathing. Jesus, you beat in my heart beating. And I pray this in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. We have rebelled against you, Lord. We want to come into your presence. We want to submit to you as our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King. And Jesus says, good. He says, how are you going to do it? And you're going to follow the way of the saints? I mean, I love the saints. But Jesus says, what I'm giving to Luisa is the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. So we do so. If we do so, we will be carried in the arms, the divine arms of God. Breathe in my breathing. Beat in my heart beating. It will lower itself to breathe in our breathing, to beat in our heartbeat beating, to move in our motion. See, God takes us at our word. Jesus, I want this from you. I want you to breathe in my breathing, to beat in my heart beating. I want you to be the Lord of my life, my King, my Savior, my Master, my all. I want nothing but what you, Lord, and your mother wants for me. And whatever that is, the joy or the sorrow, the happiness or the pain, whatever you're asking, my response is fiat. And God goes, okay, let's see if your words are there, but let's see if your life is there as well. So, then in our ardor of love, we say to Jesus, I love you for everyone. I love you. And for the love of you, I give you the heartbeat, the breath, the motion of all of humanity, past, present, and future. This is Moses standing in the breach for the Hebrews. But Jesus says to Luisa, I want all my children to be saved. I want all my children to be who are redeemed. I want to bring sanctification to all of them. Would you stand in the breach? And this is why she says, in the ardor of our love for Jesus, we will say to him, I love you for everyone and for everything. And for the love of you, Lord, I give you the heartbeat of not only my family, my friends, my neighbors, my coworkers, my parishioners. I give you the heart of everyone. I give you the heartbeat of everyone, the breath of everyone, the motion of everyone. This life that you want me to live, you want all of us to participate in this. I want that as well. So the standing in the breach, when we learn how to pray in the divine will, pray in our rounds in the divine will, when we go into that ecstasy of love, praying the rounds of creation, praying the rounds of redemption. We're there recognizing what God has done for us in creation, recognizing what Jesus and Mary have done for us in redemption. And now we're recognizing what the Holy Spirit is going to do for us in the time of sanctification. I commend myself to your prayers, she says. And this is what we do with each and every one of us. We commend each other to all the prayers of all the little children, the Holy Divine Will, leaving you the divine volition to make you a saint. So that volume 1 through volume 10 is essential. We have to become a divine mirror of Jesus. We have to become a saint. And then from the saint, Jesus says, now I want you to begin to live this, live in the through the power of the Holy Spirit, living in the divine will, which none of my saints ever accomplished on earth. Why? It wasn't time. Because now Jesus has given this to Louisa. Now is the time for us to also enter into this life, this love, this light of God that Louisa possesses. You know, this is why she becomes our little mama. She leads us, she guides us, she directs us through what Jesus and Mary taught her. And as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, we begin to understand this great, great gift of gifts, prodigy of prodigies. I commend myself to your prayers and leaving you in the divine will to make yourself a saint. These words of Louisa are our words as well. When we write something to our friends or family, when we write something for Christmas or for their birthdays or for any anniversaries, we say the same thing. I commend myself to your prayers and I leave you in the divine will of volition. Why? God's going to make you a saint. And then here for the priests, I kiss your right hand with all my esteem. And I implore on my knees your paternal blessing. And this is one of the things that is so essential for the laity, is to ask for the priest's blessing. Again, ask for the bishop's blessing. Our lady said, don't leave church early. She said this, when you leave church early, you miss the final blessing of the priest, which she says is my son's blessing given to you through his priesthood. The priests begin to understand the awesomeness of their vocation, to speak to this little souls, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, the love of the Holy Spirit, you know, in your homilies. And then she says at the end, your most devoted servant, the little daughter of the divine will. She didn't even use her name there. Again, there are so many glorious things that are coming, and our God has asked us to be alive at this time. We're going to see great changes. We're going to see amazing things happening, especially when the divine will begins to reign on earth as it is in heaven, when we see that the evil one is going to be driven out. When the kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven, he who has been banished from heaven will be banished from earth. What does that mean? Not just from the earth, not just from our solar system, not just from our galaxy, but the universe. He's going to be kicked out. And then what does scripture say? No more tears, no more sadness, no more sin, no more death. See, what's coming is what God wanted for Adam in the beginning, and Adam and all his children, and he failed. So Jesus and Mary come to earth to give back to humanity that universal life, that Catholic life. And now is the time that Jesus says, he is going to do this. He is going to bring this great gift, this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's coming. This is a glorious time to be alive. Letter 111 to a priest, Fiat, Most Reverend Father, Louisa says, I feel the duty to send you my wishes for your name's day. Now, this is another great thing. If you are a godfather or a godmother, to your godchildren, write on their name's day, write on their birthday or their baptismal day. Let them begin to know that you are praying for them. Here she says, I feel it my duty to send you my wishes, my prayers for your name's day. It's my duty to say to my godchildren, you are the ones that God has given to me to pray for your spiritual growth for the rest of your life. This is such a beautiful thing. But my most beautiful wish is that of sending you the divine will. Let's see, this, she's telling us how to write. My most beautiful wish, not only for your name's day, your saint's day, that you're named after, but my most beautiful wish is that sending you the most beautiful gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies, this great gift of the divine will, as bearer of divine sanctity, as the bearer of divine light, of bearer of divine love, of bearer of divine peace. Why? That it may plunge you into this ocean of love, of the most holy divine will, and hide you within its light in such a way as to not want to see, I want you to see nothing but this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, this great gift of the divine will. Those words will transform souls because they're saying, what are you talking about? What's this divine sanctity, divine light, divine love, divine peace that will hide you in this ocean of love, of light, of life? And this is where you begin to let them know there's more to life than this world. There's more to life than the things of this world, more than to life than the loves of this world. It's what God has planned for humanity. And then the next line, she says, again, this is why I love the letters of Louisa. She teaches us how we in the divine will should be responding to people, you know, for birthdays, for Christmas, for anniversaries, for your name day, whatever. This is what she says. May your life be transformed so much in the divine will as to feel divine life more than your own life. And again, we've mentioned this before. Jesus says to Louisa that he wants us to feel his heart beating in our heart beating. He wants us to feel him breathing in our breathing. And it's basically you breathe and your heart beats. It's almost like talking about a third person, you know, from the third person, you know, you know this is Jesus beating in your heart beating. You know this is Jesus breathing in your breathing. You know Jesus is walking in your walking. See, the divine will, when John Paul II prophesied we're going to enter a new and divine way of holiness, this isn't saintly. This isn't good. This isn't holy. This is sharing in divinity. This is that drop. We're that drop of water entering into the chalice filled with wine. Every day the priest says, may we share in the divinity of Christ. Listen to what she says. She says, may all of your life be transformed so much in the divine will as to feel the divine life more in you than your own human life. And then it says, oh, how happy you will be. Once you begin to experience this, like I said before, I like listening to the near death experiences. You're beginning to see from a divine perspective what life is really about. It's way beyond the human experience. And that's what God is saying. May your life be transformed. This is what Luis is telling us. May your life be transformed so much in the divine will as to feel its life more than your own human life. How happy you will be. You will feel a creative power in all your necessary things. And also in the good that you want to do for souls. And that's the other thing too. The divine will, it's like God is listening to everything that you're thinking, saying, and doing. And he's right there as you even think of something and there it is, you know, I've got to do. And then there it is. And you go, Lord, you're so amazing. You are so amazing. You feel this creative power in all your necessary things. And also the good that you want to do for souls, especially the priests. They want to do the good for everyone. I know it's tough at times, but we want everyone in heaven. That's the Lord's desire in us, that you bring everyone you meet, bring them to heaven, help them get to heaven. So the divine will in you will feel that it is not you who are speaking. The divine will in you will feel it's not you who are working, you who are walking, you who are loving, but it is Jesus who speaks in your speaking, Jesus who works in your working, Jesus who walks in your walking, Jesus who loves in your loving. That's the, it's like the, that you're looking at it like an out of body experience. You begin to understand the role of the priest is to bring everyone. Now, the pastor is in charge of every soul in his parish, every soul in his parish. The Buddhists, the Hindus, the Muslims, the Protestants, the atheists. This is the sad part. I mean, most priests don't understand this. But God's going to say, if they didn't make it to heaven, why didn't they make it to heaven? What did you do? What did you not do to help them come into heaven? You're in charge of this territory, your parish, everyone within it. You are the father of all these souls. And yes, there are some wayward children there, but you have to bring them to heaven. Your prayer life. Have you prayed for everybody in that's in your parish? It's not, you're not the cream of the crop. It's everyone that God wants there. See, when Jesus starts showing you how to live in the divine will and this goes on for all eternity. It's not you who are speaking or working or walking, or it's Jesus in you working, speaking, walking, and loving. Even more, he is too jealous to let us do what he is expecting his priests to do. This is why he said, I'm going to change the priesthood. The priesthood is going to be changed, he says, to the way I wanted it from the beginning. Ontological change happens at baptism. Ontological change happens at ordination, where you become the father of everyone that's around you. And your job as father is to do the best for the children, bringing everyone into the kingdom. This is why when you look at the great saints, you know, all they knew was doing the will of God. We're being taught how to live in the will of God. And he says, Jesus is too jealous to let us do what he has asked us to do. He wants to do everything himself. In order to do so, he puts his own divine will at our disposal. The goodness of God, how lovable, how great, how powerful you are. This is this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies. You're the whole priesthood changes. It really does, because it's to bring to life those that are dead. As he said, when he raised that young man on the litter, the only son of a widowed mother, he said, I want to do this for all of humanity. I want to bring them to this abundant life. And he said he's going to do this through his priesthood. That's why the priesthood is going to be, the priests are going to bring everyone back to the church. Why? It's going to be Jesus and the priests who are doing this, not the priests. He puts his own divine will at our disposal. He wants to do everything himself in us. He is too jealous to let us do it by ourselves. And so therefore, he puts his divine will at our disposal. And when we begin to live in the divine will, he does. That's why I'm saying, you see things from like a third person, like, Lord, you're doing this. I know you're doing this. I'm not doing this. I can do nothing. You're doing this. And then she says, the goodness of God, how lovable, how great, how powerful you are. This new and divine way of holiness is here. It's here because of Louisa. And our God is asking us to really begin to live this abundant life. So here is letter 126. Most Reverend Monsignor, I don't know how to thank you for your attention, for remembering the little servant of Jesus, and I don't know how to repay you. Now, again, here's a way of responding to your own bishop. I can only pray. Now, see, this is the other thing too. The bishops have it's one of the most difficult jobs that are out there. Write to your bishop, not negative things. There's enough negative letters coming, but tell your bishop that you're praying for him on his name day, on his ordination day, on the day that he became bishop of your diocese. Write to him. Tell him that you're in his prayers every day, and make sure he's in your prayers every day. I mean, well, what I saw with one of the bishops, everybody was always around him, you know, and as soon as he retired, these people ran away, abandoned him, went to the next bishop. And I went, when I saw the bishop later on, he was all alone. I mean, he had people around him, for a short time, And then when he retired, they abandoned him. And it was kind of sad. It's kind of sad. Be in the habit, like Louisa, writing to your bishop, writing to your pastor, telling him, you know, we're praying for you. You know, it's one of the reasons there's, you know, a lot of pastors are short-tempered. Is because it's all negativity. Like I said, you know, the Latin rite vestments, you have a pillar on the front and a crucifix on your back, a cross on your back. The reason is you're scourged and crucified as a priest, mainly by the laity. You're not like this priest. You're not doing this. You're not doing that. And it's important that listen to what she says. I can only pray that, dear Jesus, will make you live of divine will, because the divine will alone can make us happy. The divine will can make us saints of God's own divine sanctity. It's not the sanctity of the saints. It's the sanctity of sanctities. More so, since the only desire of Jesus is that we live in his holy divine will, because we live in the divine will, he can give us whatever he wants. Jesus wants to display his love, but our human will is too small and he doesn't know where to put it. So he wants us to give us surprising graces, but our human will is incapable of receiving them. This is why he wants to find us in his holy divine will, not only to give us what he wants, but to make of us his faithful images. So whenever Jesus finds us in his holy divine will, he makes feast and he says, finally, 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 I have found a place where I can put of my own. My divine will, Jesus says, knows how to keep my graces. My divine will knows how to keep my love and my own divine sanctity. See, it's, you want to encourage, you know, no more negativity, no more complaining, no more. It's got to stop. God is expecting to see heaven in us, peace, joy, and happiness. He's expecting to see this. He's done everything. He shed every drop of his blood. He died in our place. His mother died with him on Calvary. And Jesus said it was a miracle she survived. If it wasn't for the divine will, she would never have lived. Her sorrow was so great. So Jesus is saying to us, I want you to begin to live this abundant life. I want you to know how to keep my graces. My divine will knows how to do this. I want you to know how to keep my love. My divine will knows how to do this. I want you to know how to keep my own divine sanctity within you. He says, because my divine will knows how to do this. This is that we're like I said, it's going to get tough, but we're going to get through this. The main thing is The main thing is God is with us. God is with us. He's going to take care of us. Therefore, and then she says, Holy Father, this is her bishop. Let us take to heart living in the divine will. Let us take to heart living in the divine will. It will keep us sheltered. It will keep us protected. It will keep us from all dangers. It will keep us and free us from all evils. Now, this is, remember we said, Jesus says, when the angels seal the communities, that we will be invisible to the evil one. This is going to be a great time. And then all those that are sealed in the communities will be healed. This is a glorious time to be alive. It will keep us sheltered. It will protect us from all dangers and free us of all evils. If everyone knew what it means to live in the divine will, they would compete. And all the evils would cease instantly. All the evils are going to cease. When the kingdom of God is on earth as it is in heaven, this is the time to begin to live this abundant life. And it's close. You have to understand, everything seems to be falling apart. It's not. Jesus is getting everything in order. Good things are coming. We have to see the goal. The goal is the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And to get there, it's going to be tough. But he says, Jesus says, the survivors will be living in the divine will. So he says, she says, now here, this is a new year letter to the bishop. This is my wish for the new year, that you may live always in the divine will, and that Jesus make you a missionary of the divine will. And that's the thing for all priests today. All priests today will be given a missionary spirit of the divine will. How God's going to do that? He's going to say he's going to do it. So this Jesus making you a missionary is essential. Let's just look at the parish again. Everyone, the Jews, the Buddhists, the Hindus, the Protestants, the atheists, and the Catholics are one. He wants everyone to be in the kingdom. You're going to have this missionary spirit of living in the divine will and bringing them out from their bondage that they've been in for the last 6,000 years. It's a new and divine way of holiness that's coming all over the world. And our God has planned this. This is why he says, I'm going to change the priesthood. It's going to be so amazing what the priests are going to do. Unheard of prodigies are going to be given to humanity through his priesthood. And then she says, forgive my saying, this may be inappropriate. I renew my thanks and leaving you in the sea of the divine volition. So here she says, my wish for you, my prayer for you is that you may live always in the divine will, that Jesus may make you a missionary of the divine will. And then she says, forgive me if that's inappropriate. Some people say we're giving too much credit, too many blessings to Louisa. Listen to these next 40 days of Jesus giving these divine attributes to Louisa, these titles, and then begin to realize he wants to see that in you. To live in the divine will, he's got to see Louisa in us. And it might be one title that God is calling you to possess, to receive. And he's really asking us to get ready. So she says, I renew my thanks and I leave you in this ocean of the divine will, in the arms of Jesus, under the mantle of the Queen of Heaven. And I kiss your right hand and I implore on my knees your paternal blessing. This way of writing is going to be useful because I do really believe the priests and the laity, the bishops and the laity have to begin to work as father and children in a way that we haven't seen. And Jesus says, it's going to happen. Jesus says, he's going to do this when we get out of the way. Like he says he is jealous. He wants to bring healing to everyone and everything. And through the priesthood, he's going to do this. And our job is to make sure that we show some sort of kindness and love towards our bishops, towards our pastors, and just a thanks that you've given up everything so that God can use you, especially in this great gift of the divine will. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, and we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.